Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So here's the thing. Only 9% of Americans respond to Pew's public opinion surveys. 9% of those asked. To put it another way, 9% of American opinions stand in for the rest. That's it. Pew Research Center, as you may know, is one of the country's most recognized polling organizations, and it has just come out with a study that takes a look at the reliability of polls altogether. We tend to trust their information here. We pass along Pew results with confidence on this program and the station, but 9%, that seems very unrepresentative on its face. So let's see what's going on. Pew Research Center's director, Andy Kohut, is here to discuss. Hi, Andy. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
So we hear a lot about the 99% these days. Who are the 9%?
Well, the 9% are the percentage of people from a random sample of telephone numbers that we are able to reach and agree to cooperate with us and do an interview. Now, this is not the first time we've done this survey. We've been doing this survey since 1997. To judge the representativeness of our polls. And over time, we found that we are able to reach fewer households. For example, back in 97, we were able to get 90% of households and make a determination whether there's someone in there or not, or get someone to come to the telephone. Today, it's only 62%. Our cooperation rate back then was of the people we reached, 43% said, yes, I'll do an interview. Today, that's dropped to 14%.
Wow.
And so when you factor all of those things together in a very – and then this is a very rigorous way of calculating it. We were being very conservative. It's 9%. So, now, that's the bad news. Let me just get to the good news.
Sure.
Really early on. What we continue to find is that these surveys are still representative of the kinds of things that we measure when we can compare the results of what we get with this relatively a very low completion rate to government surveys and other databases where they're really much more factual. So there's bias in some things or misestimation in some things, but on the stuff that we deal with, politics and lifestyle, these surveys still look pretty much like the American public.
What do you think caused the response rate to you and other pollsters to crash the way it has? Is it increasing suspicion of pollsters, as increasing suspicion of so many institutions in the United States? Is it the proliferation of cell phones on which it's just harder to find people? What's the main factor here?
Yeah, well, you've identified one of the things. One of the factors is we now, unlike 1997, we now call a very large percentage of our sample are called by cell phone. 30% of all adults are cell phone only. And in point of fact, we conduct about 40% of our interviews by cell phone and 60% by landline. And it's much more difficult to get people and much more difficult to get people to cooperate on a cell phone versus a landline. So that's one factor. A second factor is increasing technology. It's easier for people to say, I don't recognize that number, what with call waiting or caller ID. So people find it easier to sort out who they want to speak to, and then secondly, I think that people are beleaguered these days by all these robocalls, advertising things and offering things, and there's just much more phone contact, and we have to compete with that. It makes it tougher to do our job.
So among those who are willing to answer poll questions, according to what I read, it appears that of those 9%, more than half had volunteered for an organization, talked to neighbors in the past week, and were more than three times as likely as others to be politically active. And I wonder if that tells you something about how polling results might be skewed by certain attributes, particularly in political polling.
Well, you picked two of the three, one of the dimensions in which we really have a problem, and that is how much volunteering these people do, how much more inclined they are to talk to other people, their neighbors, for example. But in terms of political behavior, they're pretty similar. 75% of our samples registered to vote. 75% of the government census surveys registered to vote. When we look at a comparison of the responders versus the non-responders, the percentage who are registered is 82% among those who responded and 79% among those who did not respond, using a commercial database as a way of making this comparison. And the estimated party affiliation is also pretty similar between between the responders and the non-responders. So we don't really see political biases in this survey. Brian, if we had significant political biases in these surveys, we wouldn't be getting presidential elections right. And we get presidential elections right. We had 0% error in 2008, under 1% in 2004, and not just the Pew Research Center. Most of the national polls that do things rigorously, which we do, have done a very good job in politics, and I think they do a good job on many things. There are some issues with respect to the. With respect to volunteering and the propensity of these respondents to be more open than people who don't respond. But generally, these surveys continue to work.
Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center, on their findings in terms of the declining willingness to participate in political polling and polling in general. I wonder if you would reflect for a moment on the usefulness to society of what you do. I mean, Pew is, you know, sort of the most respectable of the respectable, and yet I'm sure even you feel the hate to some degree. You know, people hate political polling because they feel it freezes people's opinions into place and makes them not go and vote because they think that they know the way that it's going to come out already, or it makes politicians slaves to the poll numbers out of fear rather than using their independent or moral judgment. So given those predominant prevailing criticisms of the prevalence of polls in our society, how do you see the social value of what you do?
Well, I think that what we do is we provide an objective presentation of public opinion that sometimes, and not always, but sometimes, sometimes in very crucial cases, runs quite contrary to the popular notions about things. And if left to the pundits, and if left to the people who like to say that they themselves understand public opinion, you'd have a different set of. I'll give you know, the one example that stands out for me is the extent to which back in 1998 we saw the American public defending Bill Clinton at a time when it was assumed that the public would condemn him.
I remember
that. In fact, the public opinion allowed the Democratic Party to rally to him in the early months of that scandal because it showed how the public was saying, hey, he's doing a great job. This is awful what he's done, but it's none of our damn business. On the other side, I remember in 1988 when President Bush picked Dan Quayle as his running mate. I was in New Orleans at the convention, and I heard 10,000 reporters say, oh, no, it's over for Bush. He can never win with Quayle. Well, we did a survey two or three days later that said the public didn't have a particularly high regard for Dan Quayle, but it didn't seem to be affecting their attitudes to voting for George W. Bush. Those are two that to mind. Mm-hmm. There are many others where we are providing a perspective on public opinion that doesn't reflect the heated point of view of partisans and others who have a dog in the fight.
We have about 45 seconds left. I'm just curious, what's the hardest kind of bias to correct for and weed out of your results?
Well, asking questions which try to get people to give you a direct answer, not the politically correct answer, or a question that or an opinion that they feel is not well regarded by others.
To say something that they think might be an embarrassment to them in the eyes of the pollster.
Right. And also finding ways to ask people about things, acknowledging what they know and what they don't know, so that we can bring the knowledge factor in the equation of evaluating public opinion.
Andy Kohut, Pew Research Center Director, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, our tour of New York's lesser-known museums continues at the Queens Farm Museum. This will be fun. Stay with us.